When you see the time is updating, so
good.
And I just let it go. Remember to stop it, then remember to start it.
All right. Now, at the end of this class, I push that once?
No, but when you want to stop it, you push the stop button.
Stop button, okay.
And then you have to start
and then go back to that, yeah. This one. All right.
So, yeah. Yeah, so
she's solid on the truth.
Yeah. I don't know what the last week, the first 9:15 class, it's out there. I can get it on my cell phone. I didn't try and go past 15 minutes, but there is a pause at about 14 minutes. So I took that pause out. Sometimes that causes some MP3 players to stop there. So if there's time between the first and the second service, I'll call Don Becker and see if he can look at that.
Yeah, all right.
I don't routinely at home call up those.
I don't usually either, but what happened with me, I wanted to know exactly where I left off last week
because
I didn't mark it, and I couldn't get it. And I got the first, but at the end there, it wasn't known. I went back, kept going back, and I called Don. He said I couldn't get it either.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Huh. Now, he called me, and he couldn't get it. The server. He had a problem with the server, or his internet provider. And he has one downstairs and one a different one upstairs. He has AT&T Uverse upstairs apparently, and downstairs he's got CenturyLink or something like that. Downstairs it wasn't working, so he was calling me, and I said, "Well, it's out there. I don't have a problem, so it's out there and it's working." And so then he went upstairs and with Uverse, I got it. I got it on Uverse, but not CenturyLink.
How come I couldn't get it? Okay. We're ready? I hate to break up social hour, but we need to get on with our study. Is the preacher's wife back there causing the trouble?
She's gone.
There she is.
She left.
She's got to get ready for the potluck.
No, Chris, he knows that's not
true. Thank y'all for doing that. Appreciate that a lot. Chris and Laura and Nick put up the pictures with some the names of young people being prayed for. And if you are so inclined to write a note, they'll give you their address. But we're not putting those things out on the internet. Wisely. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of our prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. The world is against your plan. Our flesh nature is against your plan. And Satan is against your plan. But Heavenly Father, you have given to us one who is greater than these, the power of your Spirit. And we pray this morning that we will understand why we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and how we can overcome the obstacles to living our life for Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, now, we're having a little problem. Some people, I don't know what it is, some people did not get last Sunday morning's 9:15 class, and I guess some did. And I don't know what the deal is, and we're not going to go over everything, but we're just going to surf through where we were last Sunday and pick it up there in our study. And what we're looking at now is the first negative of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. So let's begin by looking at the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Now, we have seen that spiritual love is a spiritual force. It is a superior way of life. We have seen that spiritual love is the spiritual immune system to ourselves, to our flesh cells. In other words, as we all know about the human immune system, when something foreign comes to our body, the immune system sends out T cells to that area of our body to fight it. And so the spiritual immune system is spiritual love. It blocks enemies, antigens, to the spiritual view. And that's what spiritual love does. So in that sense, it is the spiritual immune system. Now, after two positives, description of the environment of spiritual love, Paul now proceeds to the environment as to what spiritual love will not permit. It blocks it out. First of all, spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love is kind. It's long-suffering so that you can be kind. If it's not long-suffering, you won't be kind. So those two go together. Now, he goes to a negative. And it's very interesting. The first negative is jealousy. Spiritual love is not jealous. Spiritual love is immune to the negatives that we're going to be studying. Well, Julie, how you doing?
I'm all right.
All right. You got your mom and your husband there. Brian, how's it going? Glad to see you all here this morning. So, spiritual love will not permit the negatives to enter into our spiritual life. When you're not filled with the Spirit, remember, spiritual love is only by the power of the Spirit. When we're not filled with the Spirit, the immune system breaks down. Jealousy, arrogance, boasting, all these things can come in. But as long as we're filled with the Spirit, we have the immune system set up. Spiritual love will not permit these to be part of your spiritual life. Now, looking briefly, let's look at the first enemy or antigen of spiritual love. And it is powerful. Jealousy or envy, whichever you choose. These are like a cancer. Jealousy is like a cancer. If it's not taken care of, it will consume you. It will infiltrate and block every part of your life. Every time you see or hear whatever you're jealous about, it'll pop up. We've got to take care of jealousy. And the church, the local church at Corinth, right inside of the local church, jealousy or envy ran rapid. They were jealous. Those that followed Peter were jealous of those who followed Apollo. Those who followed Apollos were jealous of those who followed Paul. Right in the assembly, they had division. And Satan does that. And they didn't even have tape ministries. They didn't have TV ministries. They didn't have publication ministries. And were already causing the trouble. It's what happens in the church today so often. Now, in our study, let's look at why jealousy. What is it about jealousy? I want you to think about three things by way of introduction to jealousy. The first murder in human history was jealousy. Abel was murdered by his brother Cain because Cain was jealous that God accepted Abel's offering but not his. So rather than straighten out his own relationship with God, he took it out on his brother. And that's what jealousy will do. If we're jealous of someone, instead of saying, well, you know what, I need to study harder. I need to do this, I need to do that, or just let it go. But we don't do that. We take it out on them. And therefore, bullying and a lot of problems occur in the church, in life, because of jealousy. A lot of bullying that goes on in schools, high schools, junior high schools, is reaped by jealousy. And it amazes me the number of girls that are involved in bullying today. In my day and time, it's primarily boys. But girls now becoming very much bullied, and they bully each other and be jealous of each other, so they become bullies. Jealousy in life will rip apart your spiritual life. So Cain murdered Abel out of jealousy. Then think about it. Why was Jesus Christ crucified? Jealousy from the religious crowd. The Judaizers were jealous. People were going to hear this Jesus, and they were jealous of the crowds. They were jealous of things that he was saying. They had to get rid of him. That's the extent. That's the power of jealousy, people. So I just wanted to give you those two things by way of introduction. We'll see many more, but those two by way of introduction. Jealousy is a cause of the first murder. Jealousy is a cause of the crucifixion of our Savior. Now, let's look at the nature of jealousy. Let's look at the nature of it. It is no accident that the first antigen negative mentioned by Paul is jealousy. That is no accident at all. Now, last week we introduced, and we're just getting ready to start, into one of the powerful Old Testament verses. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. Now, you got to remember, jealousy, envy, acts as a spiritual, or as a, not spiritual, but as the immune system of our flesh nature. And, but here's the interesting thing. Instead of protecting the flesh nature, it destroys it. It's much like AIDS. I don't know if I'm sure you're aware of it, but AIDS is the immune system coming to protect the body, ending up destroying the body, because what it dictates is an enemy is not an enemy, so it ends up destroying. That's what jealousy does. It's there to protect the flesh self, but it ends up destroying who and what you are in the flesh nature. Now, let's take a look at Proverbs 14:30 to get an idea of how all this is going to work together in your spiritual life. 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body. A tranquil heart is life to the body. But passion, jealousy, envy, is rottenness to the bones. Now, what is interesting is, sometimes I like to do this with you, is the way it's translated by the various translations. I had an interesting email conversation with someone this week on Bible translations and which one's the best and all that. Some people still prefer the old King James.
Amen.
And others, different translations. And my response is, first and foremost, decide what you want your Bible to do. If you want it nice, clean, clear, okay. If you want it as close to the original, okay. Then you start looking for the ones that satisfy what you're looking for. If you want it complex, where you don't even understand it, the King James is yours. So it just depends on what you want. When I was in seminary, I went in as a King James, and that was it. It was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, and that's the way it's going to be. But as I progressed in the Hebrew department, I began to realize the New American Standard is just so much like and close to the original content, the original text. So I became a New American Standard. But I want to go through some of the translations and show you what's they're trying to do with the words that are given. Now, the NIV, which is very popular, a heart of peace. A heart of peace. Now, the New American Standard said a tranquil heart. The NIV says a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I like that. It's very graphic and just puts it together. You have a pitiful heart, and you have a peaceful heart, you have life in your body. If you have jealousy, rotten to the bone. What's the difference in the bones? Bones is a skeleton. That's your structure. That's what holds everything together. It's the first thing you learn in anatomy, the human skeleton system. And then you start putting all the things with it. So, if you have jealousy, it will rot the very structure of your life. Now, the New Living Translation, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. The Berean Study Bible, which is pretty good often, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but evil rots the bones. King James, a sound heart is life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. The Christian Standard Bible, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones. Most of them are pretty clear on the jealousy or envy rotting or cancering the bones structure. The Christian Standard Bible, a tranquil heart is life to the body. Jealousy is rottenness to the bones. Good News Translation, a little different. Peace of mind. Now they're getting to it. What's going on in your mind? Peace of mind makes the body healthy. Jealousy is like a cancer. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, a tranquil heart is life to the body. But jealousy is rottenness to the bone. Now the Good News Translation, peace of mind, the word mind is not in the text. But they've gone to, this is what we're talking about, what you think. The way you think is going to determine the life and structure of your body. The International Standard Version, a tranquil mind, they do the mind thing, brings life to one's body. But jealousy causes one's bones, one's structure to rot. NET Bible, a tranquil spirit revives the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. New Heart English Bible, the life of the body is a heart of peace, but envy rots the bones. The Aramaic Bible, in plain English, he that cools his anger is a healer of his heart. Now they've really stretched out there, but it's there in the original. He who cools his anger is a healer to his heart. But I think there's more involved in the Hebrew than just anger. And envy is the decay of the bones. God's Word Translation, a tranquil heart makes for a healthy body, but jealousy is like bone cancer. The Jubilee Bible, a sound heart is life to the flesh, but envy rottenness to the bones. And the main thing is what you see is what happens with jealousy and envy. The Brenton Septuagint translation, a meek spirited man is a healer of the heart, but a sensitive heart is a corruption of the bones. The Dewey Rams Bible, soundness of heart is the life of the flesh, but envy rottenness to the bones. The Darby Bible, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy rottenness to the bones. World English Bible, the life of the body is a heart of peace. The life of a body, a heart of peace, but envy rots the bones. Young's literal translation.
Yeah, it was really high. Oh, okay. I wonder, I thought it was air conditioning.
Young's literal translation, a healed heart is life to the flesh, and rottenness to the bones is envy. Now, let's just ask some questions about all these translations. How do you get a tranquil heart? How do you get a healed heart? How do you put life into the body? How do you establish this peace? See, that's the question on is the how of all these things. Soundness of heart is life of the flesh. How do you get soundness? How do we? This sounds good, but it begs the question. How do I get the first part of these things? And that's what we're studying in spiritual love. It's what we're studying in what it will do as far as the protection of our being. This study, to me, out of our three studies, is probably the most important for the daily life. I know people, personally, who boast and put on a front of a wonderful Christian life. At home, they're detestable. The way the wife treats the husband, the way the husband treats the wife, the way the parents treat the children, detestable. And people, God's not concerned so much with the hypocrisy of our being as He is the reality. And this study is about where we live. This is not pie in the sky stuff. This is where you and I live. This is our way of life at work, at home, at the PTA, at church, wherever we go in life. Jealousy will crop up. We need to combat it. Envy will crop up. Boasting will crop up. Arrogance will crop up. Some of the negatives coming up. How do we handle all these things? These are the intrusion of our living a true Christian life. It's not about end time belief. You can be absolutely correct on end time belief and be a horrible representative of Christ. It's not about eternity, as far as your belief about eternity. It's not about the gospel. You can be absolutely correct on the gospel and be firmly saved in Christ. No other way to be saved than firmly. Be saved in Christ. But as far as your Christian life, rottenness to the bone. And this study to me is the most important. This deals with our daily lives. Where we work, where we live, how we treat our husbands, our wives, friends, relatives, people at church, people at work, people in life. This is it. This is the truth of whether or not you magnify Jesus Christ in your life. Whether you proclaim Christ in your life. The truth will be known by those closest to you. Whether or not you truly magnify Jesus Christ. And the secret to all of this is this study right here. It's not about learning doctrine. It's not about learning the Bible. It's not about learning end times. It's not learning about the history of the Old Testament. It's not learning about Jerusalem. It's about living the Christian life moment by moment in your life. These other things are added dynamics to our Christian life. But as far as living the Christian life, it's not a matter of what we think about Jerusalem, what we believe about end times, what we believe about eternity. It's about how we live each day of our life, from the when we get up to when we go to bed. That's what this study is about. And jealousy is an enemy to our lives. Now let's get back to our study. A tranquil heart is life to the body. The heart here refers to the soul, the real you. The word tranquil is marphith, M-A-R-P-H-I-H, and refers to to good health. That's what some of these translations were trying to do. The Hebrew word refers to good health. It refers to healing. To good health when weakened. That's why some of the translations translated as progressive. The word body is the word basar or flesh. The other part of you, that other person, the self. And so a healthy soul is vitality to life. A healthy soul, vitality to life. Now, this verse doesn't deal with how you get a healthy soul. Healthy body. What's a healthy body? Well, you go by the legs of a chair. You've got diet. You've got exercise. You've got sleep. These are legs to a healthy body. Eating correctly. Exercising correctly. Not to obsession, but just take care of your body. And sleep. These kinds of things are the true element of a healthy body. But what about a soul? What's the element of a peaceful soul, a healthy soul? Now it says, but passion, rottenness to the bones, a cancer to the bones. All right, now the word passion, that the NASB translated passion, is the word ganah, G-I-N-A-H. And in the lexicon, jealousy. I don't know why they put passion. I do know why, but I wish they had stayed with the main ideal of the word jealousy, envy. Now, like the Greek word, the Hebrew word for jealousy has both good and bad connotations. Same thing with the Greek words, depending on the context. Here, it's bad. An enemy. Jealousy, envy, antigen to your spiritual Christian life. Now, God is a jealous God. He's jealous. He will not tolerate idolatry. That's what we're studying on Wednesday night. He will not tolerate it. And when you bring idolatry into the sanctuary, that really gets him. I don't know how many of you say, anybody see about Union Seminary this weekend? Let me tell you about it. Union, did you see that? Union Seminary. Now, what I want you first of all remember, this is a seminary. They are training young men to go out and take churches. Do you know what they did this weekend? They prayed to and worshiped plants. They prayed for forgiveness for polluting the earth to plants. These are young men that are going to take on churches. This is where we are. This is where we are, people. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. See? I eat plants, not all of them. I don't think Brussels sprouts were meant to be eaten, but some people do. See? And I don't apologize to them for that at all. See? When I eat spinach, I don't play. Well, I'm sorry. Have at it. See? So, but it's just as amazing what is going on in our society today. Now, let's take a look at the passion, rottenness to the bone. Now, let's take a look at the word rottenness. This is the word, rakev, means decay. Some of the translations I read to you translated decay. Some of them translated it rottenness. Both are acceptable as far as staying with the original. We need one, our physical body. We need one for our spiritual life. And God in His grace has given us one for both. And He's given us something for our physical body and our spiritual body. He's given us spiritual love. See? Why did Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, move from love is long-suffering and kind to love is not jealous? One major principle I hope you get out of the understanding here is the immune system starts with you. Always remember that. It's your immune system of your own body. Some people have very good immune systems. They rarely get colds. They rarely get sick. Their body just handles it. Other people, they get, if anybody else has a cold, they're going to get it immediately. They're always sick. They're always going to come down with it. Different people have different immune systems of their bodies. It identifies you. Your immune system says, this is who you are. This is foreign to who you are. I'm going to combat it. That's the way our immune system works. So if you get a cut, your immune system says, that's foreign. Get the T cells there. Clog it up. Stop the bleeding. As much as you can to the immune system, and start the healing process. That's our immune system. Works with illnesses, bruises, cuts, this kind of thing. It's our immune system. God gave it to us. The immune system recognizes who you are. Now think about that in two areas. The immune system of our flesh nature. That immune system recognizes who we are in the flesh. And therefore, if someone else is complimented, someone else is praised, our flesh immune system says, well, wait a minute, what about me? Well, hey, look, my hair looks good. I look kind of good. Hey, look, I do this. What's going on here? What about me? That's our immune system to the flesh nature. Immune system to your spiritual nature, who you are in Christ. That's who it recognizes. It does not recognize who you are in life. It recognizes who we are in Christ. And that's who it's going to protect. It's going to protect who we are in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it will not allow jealousy, envy. It will not allow arrogance. It will not allow boasting. Those are foreign to who we are in Christ. So it will not allow it. And the more we become aware of who we are in Christ, we increase the strength of our spiritual immune system. The more we walk in the power of the Spirit, the more spiritual love protects us automatically. And you can just see your own spiritual growth. You can take when you first started, and then after 5 years, 10 years, you're always going to have the sin nature. Don't think you're not going to have that. But things, let me put it this way. I hope at 77, it's spiritual growth. I hope it's not I just reach a point where I don't care about things anymore. That's a possibility. I just don't care about that anymore. I hope it's my spiritual life that brings about that. Because that's what the immune system does. Our spiritual immune system protects us in these areas of our life. Now, the spiritual love is not envious. It is an immune system to our spiritual life and will not allow envy or jealousy to penetrate, to cause, to disrupt. There are people who they'll come to church with a good attitude, want to learn the Word of God, drive in the driveway, see somebody else, and that's it. That's it. That cut it. They're not going to get anything out of the message. They're not going to get anything out of the prayer, nothing out of the singing, nothing out of anything. They're already shot. Their immune system has already neutralized them. You can't let that happen, people. If that happens, nip it in the bud. To quote the great theologian Barney Fife, nip it in the bud. Right there. Don't let it come into the assembly with you. Don't let it bother you when you get inside. If someone does bother you that much, sit in front of them. See? Just sit in front of them so you don't even have to see them. If they bother you that much, don't let people bug you. Don't let people cause you jealousy, anger, bitterness, any of these things. Arrogance. See? I can't stand their child. My children are better than their children. On and on and on. Whatever it is. Jealousy is unbelievable. The things we're jealous about is just unbelievable. Yes?
Well, so the bottom line is when there's jealousy, envy, strife, we're out of spirit. So that's our clue to know we're not walking in the spirit.
That's it. That lets you know it.
Jealousy hits us.
Immediately.
We're out of spirit.
Mm-hmm. When you're jealous, you know I'm not in His Holy Spirit. My immune system is shot. I need to get it back on. That's what you need to know immediately, right up front. Now, we come to what spiritual love does in respect to what others have or others are. Love is not jealous. Love is not envious. See? In the total picture, what does spiritual love do in respect to what we have or what we are? Love does not brag. That's coming up. The dynamics, the complex of spiritual love is that it creates an environment in your soul. In respect to outside pressure, adversity, spiritual love is long-suffering. In respect to others, spiritual love is kind. In respect to others, what they have, who they are, what they are, things about them, spiritual love is not jealous. In respect to what you are and what you have, spiritual love does not brag, does not boast. Now, I don't know. There might be I'm sure there is a point where it becomes boasting. But I was just blown away with what Chris Day did in the Navy. See, when you told us the other day, a couple of months ago, I was just blown away. Good grief, how does he know all that stuff? See? And I want to know more of what he knows. Not that I would understand it, but I'm impressed by it. See? So, it's just, there's a line where it's fine to tell people things. There's also a point where it creates jealousy in others. That's why it doesn't boast. See, the way I like to word it is, not boasting allows God to bless you without you and others getting out of shape. Not being jealous allows God to bless others without you getting out of shape. See, that's what not being jealous allows God to bless everybody else. It doesn't bother you at all. Not bragging allows God to bless you without you getting everybody else out of shape, out of spiritual shape. God has a wonderful system here, just like with our human body. It amazes me the things I learn about the human body. But it's spiritual, it is just unbelievable. Okay, let's take a look. The nature of jealousy or envy. The antigen, the enemy to your spirit-filled life. Now, let's take a look at definition and description. What is jealousy or envy about? We've looked at Proverbs 14:30, but now let's go beyond that. Spiritual love creates an environment that the world can see and that others are benefited. Jealousy and envy have no part in spiritual love. But when jealousy, envy are present, they create an environment in your soul. They create an environment in your life. They create an environment at home, at church, at work, your social life, and wherever else you go. It creates an environment. An environment that is just the opposite of the environment of spiritual love. Just the opposite of the environment of who we are in Christ. So, what is the environment of jealousy or envy? Whatever, wherever it is found, in your human love, in your family love, whatever. Remember that each one of you create an environment wherever you are. Every one of you, create an environment. See? Even if you're someone like me that doesn't, no one even knows you're in the room. You're just quiet and all of that. See? You still create an environment. So whatever your personality, whatever it is, you create an environment. Don't think you don't. You create an environment in your life. When you walk into a room, work, local church, even home, see, you create an environment. Now, you got to be aware of this fact. And then ask yourself, what is the environment that I create when I walk into a room? What is the environment I create? It's a fair question. It's a bona fide question. See? Tenseness, control, fear, disdain, contempt. What's the environment you bring when you come into a room? I remember as a child, my grandfather could walk into a room. That's fine. But if he cleared his throat, Katie barred the door. I mean, he goes, and man, you start looking, what am I doing wrong? Did a woman walk in the room and I didn't stand up? Am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? I mean, immediately, you start checking yourself out. See? Is it me or is it somebody else? See? So, you create an environment. And that's a good environment, by the way, for a parent to create. Parent walks into a room, and children say, well, you know, there's mom and dad, I better straighten up. That's a good environment. Not fear, just I know their standards. So we create an environment, and you need to ask yourself, what is the environment that I create? Now, the love, the spiritual love that we're studying, is agape, and it specifies this as spiritual love. Negative. This time Paul uses a negative. Not. Spiritual love, not. Not. Well, you can use this word, that word when describing an environment where spiritual love is not present. Where love is not present. Not. Next time someone seeks to control you and call it love, not. That's not love. That's not love. I've learned a little bit about myself. Maybe God has blessed me in not being a parent because I'm a grandparent and I'm so judgmental of who my grandchildren are dating now. And they'll come in and I'll go, not. No, not good. Okay. They could do better. This is all right, but not for marriage. And those are stupid thoughts. But they're my thoughts. See? Now, when someone is controlling, that's not love. And I would teach my daughter that. I would teach my son that. If you want to control, that's not love. That is not love. See? And so the not is very important in life here. See? So, what is spiritual love is present. What is not present? Spiritual love is not envious. Spiritual love is not jealous. The property of spiritual love is that when you see it in action, you will not see jealousy. You will not see envy. Spiritual love is not characterized by jealousy or envy. Spiritual love does not create an environment of jealousy or envy. It doesn't create that environment. That's very important. Now, someone, and I'm just picking somebody we all know, Billy Graham walks into a room. It doesn't create jealousy or envy. It creates admiration, respect, thankfulness. If it creates jealousy and envy, it's not him. Now, he can, and some do. I know some preachers, people in the Christian world, they just, the way they walk into a room, create jealousy, create anger, create resentment. What kind of environment do you create in life? But spiritual love is not characterized by jealousy or envy. Spiritual love, jealousy and envy are not the property, the environment of spiritual love. Spiritual love will not permit jealousy or envy. See? Jealousy and envy are very much a part of our natural being. Cain. Our first birth. And they're all as often part, if not the total, of who and what we are. Jealousy is very much a part of our first birth. We've learned that right from the very beginning. Then as you put on and you start growing up, these things will exemplify themselves in your life. The natural man is preoccupied with self, and self is jealous of others. The old man, preoccupied with self, and self is jealous of others. Let's look at Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. Now, the deeds of the flesh, this is our first birth, who are what we are. And people, this is true of every one of you. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. The best thing to do is to admit it and then guard against it. The deeds of the flesh, deeds, the workings, the environment, the manifestation of the flesh are evident. They're evident. Which are immorality. I want it. I'll take it. Impurity. I want it. I'll take it. Sensuality. Idolatry. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Disputes. Dissensions. Factions. Envying. Drunkenness. Carousing. And things like these. I love in things like these. I love that. If I miss you, I'll cover your ear. Well, he didn't get me in any of those. I got your ear. Things like them. So whatever he missed you, he's got you on things like this. But what I want you to do, this is who and what we are in the flesh nature. Immoral, impure, sensual, idolatrous, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Anytime any of these come up in your life, say, uh-oh, boy, I know where that's came from. That's my flesh nature. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody needs to tell you. Now, a parent needs to tell a child as they start growing up these things, to learn these things. But as adults, nobody needs to tell me I'm out of fellowship.
You're out of fellowship.
I know it. I know it perfectly well. See? Thank you for reminding me. I already know that. See? And these are how we know it. They're evident. They create an environment you can't deny. And jealousy is part of them. And all these other things are manifestations of our flesh nature. Caring about ourselves. Immorality. Impurity. Sensuality. Sounds like the headlines in American papers. Idolatry. Sorcery. Enmities. Strife. At work, at church, at home. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Disputes. Dissensions. And factions. Okay, let's go to the next part. Verbal form. Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, uses another verb. Zaloo. Z-long-E-L-O-O. Again, we have the verbal form, not a descriptive adjective or qualifying noun, but a verb. We noted that love is long-suffering. It's a verb. Love is kind. That's a verb. Now, love is not jealous. It's a verb. See? That's what I want you to understand. All 16 of these in 1 Corinthians 4 are, or 13, 4, are verbs, action. And remember, the subject is love. Not you. You and I are not long-suffering. You and I are not kind. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love is kind. You and I are not jealous. Spiritual love is not jealous. So therefore, people, what does this tell us? Don't make a decision, I'm going to be kind today. No, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. And the Holy Spirit will manifest this in my life, in dealing with others. I will be kind. See? I'm not going to be jealous. I'm going to church. I'm going to work. I'm going to social hour. I'm not going to be jealous. No, you'll be jealous the first time you see that person. What you do is you make up your mind. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be occupied with Christ. And therefore, you're not going to be jealous. That's the protection. So what I want you to understand is, this is a verb. It's very important as a verb. It's action. This is why I taught spiritual love is a force. It's a force. It's dynamic. It's a verb. Not a noun. Not an adjective. But a verb. Spiritual love is not. See? And here, spiritual love is not jealous. It's a dynamic of spiritual love. The negative action of love is that love is not jealous. The spiritual negative action. The action of spiritual love, not jealous. That's a spiritual action. Now, I want to make one thing clear right now before we go any further. Before we define envy. We haven't defined it yet. Before we study jealousy and spiritual love, this is a major part, a point you will be hearing over and over with every one of these negatives. Not envious, not brag, not arrogant, not act unbecoming. I can't wait to get to that one. What does it mean, not act unbecoming? Well, a skillet flying across a room or a chair flying across a room is not acting becomingly. See? So we'll come to that. But not acting becomingly, not seek its own, not provoked, does not take into account a wrong. That's powerful. See? Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Here's the point I'll be making over and over. You do not make a decision not to be jealous. You do not make a decision not to boast. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. You do not make a decision not to act unbecomingly. You do not make a decision to seek your own, not to seek your own way. You do not make a decision not to be provoked. You do not make a decision not to consider wrongs against you. You do not make a decision to derive some happiness in evil doing. You as a believer do not make these decisions. You make a decision to love as Christ loved. That's your only decision. And people, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful what God did? Don't make a decision about fighting this wrong and fighting that wrong. Just make one decision. Just one. To love as my son loved. That's the decision you and I make. If I had a son getting dating age, here's what I would tell him. I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't give him, you know, which button do you cross the line? Is French kissing wrong? Is this wrong? Is that wrong? On and on and on. I'll say, you treat her as unto the Lord. That's how you treat her. Well, Dad, that just about blows it all. That just about covers everything. And that's what I hope he would reply. Because that's what I want you to do. And I would tell my daughter the same thing. Don't dress in a way that provokes or arouses. Don't do this. Don't think how you act and how you dress, how you talk in Christ. That's the only decision we've got to make. As unto the Lord. I will talk as unto the Lord. I will act as unto the Lord. I will dress as unto the Lord. I will do these things as unto the Lord. And that's all the decision you and I have to make. Our decision is, I will be filled by the Holy Spirit. I will trust the Holy Spirit. I will walk by faith. I'll live by faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. It's up to Him to cause me not to be jealous, not to boast, not to be arrogant, not to be uncontrollable. It's up to Him. I trust Him to do it. See? So that's the main thing I'm going to be carrying through this whole study of the negatives. You and I, or even the positives, you don't make a decision to do or not do these things. Our decision is, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, that's our decision. This is extremely important in spiritual love. You do not, out of self-will, decide not to be jealous and then proceed to fight by the human effort, human strength, self-discipline. This is the way the unbelieving world, and even with good standards, this is how a good father in the unbelieving world, you straighten up like a young man. You don't cry. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Stand erect. Take it. Take it on the chin. See? That's how unbelievers do it. That's what we teach, rights and wrongs. You don't treat a girl like that. You hear me? I'll knock your head off if you do. That's the way we do. See? Wait a minute. That's how we do it in the flesh. See? In the spiritual realm, you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. You have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with the third member of the Godhead. That's what I want you to be aware of. That's what I want you to do and to have, is that relationship. Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning and make some headway into our study. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Close with the word of prayer. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you. First of all, Father, you laid it heavy on us not to be jealous. Then we see it's part of our flesh nature. How are we going to fight it? We're going to fight it every minute in the flesh. And you've made it so simple for us. He said, no, you don't. Just trust my Spirit, whom I have given to you, whom I have supplied you with. Just trust my Spirit, and you will not be jealous. Father, we praise you for the God you are. You've given us a miraculous immune system for our bodies. Now we find you've given us a miraculous immune system for our spiritual self. We praise you, Father. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.